Okay, so we are up to the halachos of Kiddush in the morning of Shabbos. Last week we discussed the halachos of davening a little bit and eating before davening, and if need be, when someone needs to eat before davening, should they make Kiddush? We said that the Chofetz Chaim says you should make Kiddush. And we spoke different leniencies that the girls in the high schools rely on to eat before davening. We said, generally speaking, if someone is not going to daven at all today, they're too busy with their kids, or for whatever reason, they're not going to daven, that's it. They just decided they're not going to daven, so then they would be allowed to eat, and because they're not going to daven. But if they're going to daven, then they preferably should not eat until they daven. And if they're not going to be able to daven until much later, and it's not fair, they can't eat until then. So they say the basic, the brachos, and perhaps the first paragraph of Shema with the first paragraph, and then they would be allowed to eat.
Can you do that? Can you say the Shema and then go back and start davening from the beginning again?
Then you would start beginning. Yeah,
and
just the first paragraph. You
say Shema again?
Then you would say Shema again from the beginning.
You would.
Yeah. Because you didn't say it with the brachos and all that.
Do you have to say Shema?
So women technically are not obligated in Shema because, like we've mentioned a few times, that women are not obligated in mitzvos, aseishas, magrom, and mitzvos that come at a set time. Women are not obligated in that. And krishma is at a set time because there's the day krishma by day and the night krishma by night. So even though it's day and night and it's every day, but still, it's the day is by day and the night is by night. So technically, women are not obligated to say krishma.
Mm-hmm.
However, the many, many places can say, including the Mishnah Berurah, I think, and they all say, that it is good for a woman to say krishma every day, to be makabel. The whole point of Shema, of krishma, is to be makabel olma hashamayim, to accept the yoke of heaven upon us and the yoke of the mitzvos. So therefore, she should be saying, preferably she should be saying Shema with that pasuk of Baruch Shem and the first paragraph. And it's already, it's brought also that it's good to say the entire three paragraphs of Shema. So somebody who does daven, as much as they can, so they would have the Psukah de Zimmer and the Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei. But according to the letter of the law, they are not obligated, but it is very stressed that it is a good thing for women
so
to daven.
So if you daven brachos and then you eat, but you know that you're going to be davening later, you still say Shema?
Preferably, you should say just the first paragraph. You don't have to say all three, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that in other paiskim, at least you should say the first paragraph, including Shema, Baruch Shem, and the first paragraph of Ahavta, and then you could eat, and then at a later point, when the kids are all out and you finished whatever you need to do, then you have a good 10-15 minutes quiet, then you're able to daven the rest. But at least that much, you shouldn't be eating before the main part of davening, so therefore you do the brachos and at least the first paragraph of krishma. And that's what I tell all the girls in the school to do, and a lot of them knew that already. A lot of them knew that, we know, that you say the brachos and the birchas hashachar, and then at least the first paragraph, then they could eat, and then when they come to school, that's when they daven the rest. But we said Shmona Esrei, technically, the Mishnah Berurah paskin, that women are obligated to daven Shmona Esrei every day. Shacharis and Mincha. Ma'ariv, we discussed that, they don't have to really, but Shacharis and Mincha they should. But again, the same way, if you have a lady who works, in the morning, or she's getting the kids off to school and she's not able to, so she has what to rely on, to just rely on the Rambam's opinion. We didn't get into the details of what's the Rambam's opinion, the Ramban, but they rely on the Rambam, though you just say a short tefillah. And a short tefillah, I think every woman, should be able to find time to do. Just the brachos.
In terms of the latest time to say Shacharis and the earliest time to say Mincha.
So the thing is, I could tell that to you, but women are not as tied down to the times as much as men. Meaning, since women are not obligated in Kriya Shema, so we say that it's still good, to say Kriya Shema every day, even though they're not obligated to, but the Pesukim say that they're not obligated to do it by the Zman Kriya Shema.
But in terms of brachos or whatever, there really probably is a cutoff.
Brachos, meaning the Berachos HaShachar, saying because that was only the morning. So that is a discussion. There are those that say that you could even say Berachos HaShachar the whole day, but I think the meaning is that we only say it up until Chatzos. Right.
Really,
if it's busy and then you realize 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I never said the Berachos HaShachar. For sure it could happen.
So it's
never too
late to say Brachos.
So Berachos HaShachar, I have to check up again if that could be said all day, but Krishma, we say that goes up until the fourth hour. Krishma and Shemon Esrei, that goes up until the fourth hour into the day. And then I'll double check as far as that.
The fourth hour of the day would be, I don't understand.
Hold on, I'll explain that in a second. I'm going to
say again. From sunrise, right.
When we say 3 hours into the day or 4 hours into the day, so every day halachically is divided up into 12 hours.
Okay.
No matter what. Meaning even in the winter when it's a shorter day or in the summer it's a longer day, you take the amount of daylight hours and you divide it up into 12. And then that is the hour. So sometimes in the winter, an hour, halachic hour, is 45 minutes. In the summer, a halachic hour is, let's say, an hour and 15 minutes, about 75 minutes. So like when we say chatzos, when we say halfway through the day or halfway through the night, that doesn't mean 12 o'clock. Why is that not? Like you all know, like the afikom and you have to eat by chatzos. It's not 12 midnight. Sometimes it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Because that's halfway of the night. So meaning whatever time the night starts, let's say at 7 o'clock, and the night ends at 5 o'clock, so then halfway in between that, okay, that halfway between that would also be 12 o'clock. But what you take the night and divide it into 12 hours, so chatzos means half of that, so 6 hours, you know, of the night. So when we say 3 hours into the day, it means 3 halachic hours into the day. Now when does the day start? So there's two opinions. Does it start by Alos HaShachar, which is daybreak, or does it start by sunrise, which is what we call Nates and Vesikin? So there's different opinions, and that's why there's two Zmans for Krishma. There's two times for Krishma. If you ever notice on any of the calendars, it says, when do you have to say Krishma by, at least the men? So there's two opinions. This is what we call the Magen Avraham, this is what we call the Gra. So that depends on, do you start the day from daybreak up until three stars, or do you go from sunrise up until sunset? Very complicated halachas that are not important for now. But women do have more leniency as far as the timing for Kriya Shema, and as far as Shemona Esrei, they don't have to say Kriya Shema by 3 hours into the day, 3 halachic hours into the day. They have so further Kriya Shema. If you say without the brachos Kriya Shema, you can really say the whole time because it's really psukim in the Torah. It's psukim in the Torah, so you're not losing anything if you say later in the day. But it should preferably be done by 4 hours into the day.
So if I want to daven shacharis and mincha, and let's say it's already closer, let's say to a quote unquote mincha time,
right?
So I should daven shacharis first.
No, so then by that time you could only do up until 4 hours into the day.
Okay, so
up until four
okay.
hours into the day.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. Okay, so that's basically the halachas. Okay, so as far as the halachas of kiddush in the morning, so by Shabbos morning. So if you remember, we said the halachos of Kiddush Friday night, that's obligated midday raisa, according to Torah law. And we said women are obligated in that as well, because we said a few times already that women are obligated in all the positive commandments of Shabbos just as much as men, even though Shabbos comes at a set time, but we learned that women are obligated just as much. So that's an obligation midday raisa. Shabbos morning, the obligation to make Kiddush is only a mitzvah midday rabbanan. It's only a rabbinic enactment to make Kiddush Shabbos morning. And the Mishnah Berurah says that women are obligated in this mitzvah, even though it's only an obligation midrabbanan, but women are obligated to have Kiddush Shabbos morning because, again, they are obligated in all the positive commandments of Shabbos, whether it's a mitzvah according to Torah law, and we paskin, even if it's a mitzvah according to rabbinic law, they are obligated to. Now, what's the reason for Kiddush in the morning? Why do we have Kiddush in the morning? The Kiddush Friday night, like we discussed, is to sanctify the day, right? Shabbos has begun, and we need to mention the fact that Shabbos has begun and sanctify Shabbos by saying how holy it is and that Hashem created the world and He rested on the seventh day. The Shabbos morning, where in the world is that coming from? It's been Shabbos for hours already when we wake up Shabbos morning. So where does it come from to have Kiddush Shabbos morning? So the reason is the following. The reason why the Rabbanon, the rabbis, made Kiddush Shabbos morning is because we have the Shabbos day meal, and we want to make that meal into a special meal. Now, anyways, usually we make it a special meal. We have special types of foods, and we make it much more elaborate than we do during the week. But the Rabbanon wanted to make a law that we have to start the Seuda with wine or grape juice. We want to make it special. So since we want to make it special, so the way to make it special is to start off beforehand to make it over a cup of wine, to start it with a cup of wine, or as we know, many people use grape juice instead. That's also considered something chashuv, something important, and that's the beginning. That's how we make the meal very festive. Now, according to that, the main part of Kiddush, Shabbos morning, is just the Hagafen Bracha. Because the whole point is not the whole text that we say. And I'm sure you noticed that a lot of men, they say other psukim beforehand. Some people start from Vishamruz B'nai Yisrael Atzai Shabbos. Some people start a little bit later than that, which is what I do, because that's what my father did. We start from Zachar Yom Shabbos Akasha, Sheish Yom Tavid. We say a whole other psukim in the Torah. Those are all beautiful, but that's all not part of Kiddush. So if you come into a Kiddush Shabbos morning, it's a bar mitzvah or a Kiddush in Shul, and you walk in and someone's making Kiddush out loud for everybody, right? So we discussed that at one point. So that person is having in mind whoever's listening, right? So even though you just walked in, it's okay because they have in mind whoever's listening. If all you heard was the Hagafen, that's okay. Because Shabbos morning, the whole Kiddush is really Hagafen. All those psukim before that, all those extra psukim that we say before that, those are all just extra. It's beautiful, and whoever has the custom to say it should continue saying it, but those are really not part of the Kiddush. Friday night, there's that whole paragraph, right? You're familiar with Friday night, we have the Hagafen, and then we have that whole big paragraph afterwards. That is the main Kiddush, because we're sanctifying the day. By Shabbos morning, it's really just the Hagafen. You may notice, either if your husbands do it, or if you see other people do it, they'll have the Kiddush cup filled with wine or grape juice in front of them Shabbos morning, and they won't pick it up until the bracha of Hagafen. But before that, during those other psukim, they won't pick it up. Therefore, it's going to spill, or for whatever reason, they don't pick it up because that's not really part of the Kiddush. It's not really part of the Kiddush. It's just extra psukim. It's all beautiful, but it's not really part of the actual Kiddush. The Kiddush is just Hagafen. And the reason is, again, just to make the meal a beautiful meal, so we started off with wine or with grape juice. Now, If you remember when we spoke about the halachas of Friday night, who has to drink, right? One man is making Kiddush and you have a whole table of people. So the custom is that everybody takes a little sip from that wine. But we said that you don't have to. That you don't have to take a drink. You still fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush Friday night if you don't end up drinking. But Shabbos morning, there are those that feel that everybody has to drink Shabbos morning. And the reason is based on this, that since the whole point is not just the text, there's no text really, it's just the Hagafen bracha. It's really just to sanctify and to elaborate the meal, so every person needs to take a sip from that wine or grape juice. There are those that say not like that, but you will find, and you should try a little bit harder to make sure. Friday night, I'm sure all of you all take a sip from the wine, we all sit around the table, everyone passes around a little cup of wine or grape juice, and everyone takes a drink. But Shabbos morning, people take it very lightly. At a Kiddush and a Shul, so not, of course, everybody can't drink from that one person that made Kiddush. But if you're sitting around the table, you should really take a drink from the wine Shabbos day, even though it's considered very lenient in a lot of people's eyes, but it's really, some paiskim say, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says that if the whole point is to drink the wine and make it a festive meal, so everybody should take part in the Kiddush, even Shabbos day.
Is there an amount or just a sip?
Also just a tiny sip, same as Friday night, just a tiny, tiny sip. The one who makes the Kiddush has other rules as far as how much he has to drink. That will let the men deal with that. But as far as the women, all they need is a tiny sip.
So, but if you're at Kiddush, if you're at a Kiddush, and
right,
somebody's making a Kiddush,
right,
and you hear the Hagafen, so then you don't have to drink, you don't have to eat, you don't have to do anything?
So you don't have to drink. It's a good thing to drink, but you don't have to drink. But we need to discuss, if I want to eat now from this Kiddush, I want to have some challah, some kugel, some cake, what do I need to eat? Am I allowed to take only the fruit? We'll have to discuss that. We're going to get
to... And then the other question is, If you hear Kiddush and you don't eat, does that mean when you go home you have to hear Kiddush again?
Exactly. So we have to discuss that also. We're about to get to that. The answer is yes, definitely. So let's see. That's the next thing we're going to say. One other halacha before we get to that. You're making excellent points, which is the main thing I want to talk about. You may find, and I try to do this also, that if somebody has a Kiddush in Shul, right? And let's say, before your questions, they eat, they have plenty of cookies, plenty of cake, plenty of chont and machmir, and they have everything, and they have chont and kugel and everything. You may find that when they get back home and they have their real meal with challah and everything, they'll make Kiddush again. You ever noticed that? There are some people that say that you should really make Kiddush again. And the reasoning is, again, based on this, that since the whole point of the Kiddush is to have it by your real seuda, your real meal with the challah and your real Shabbos meal, so then even though you had Kiddush and Shul, but there are those that are makbid to make Kiddush again. And it's not a problem because, again, the whole Kiddush is just Hagafen. So you make Hagafen again with a new cup of wine, a new cup of grape juice. It's not a problem. I try to do that. Anyways, if the man comes home and his wife didn't hear Kiddush yet, so anyways, he has to make Kiddush again for his wife and his kids. But let's say the whole family went to the Kiddush.
Right.
And then they all come home and now they're having the meal. There are those that say that they should really make what we call Kiddush again. They should start it again with grape juice and wine. They don't have to, but it is a stringency because they should have the wine by their actual meal.
And So even if they say it, even if you heard Kiddush, you still should drink it again.
Yeah, you could say, yeah, you should still drink it again.
Lots of times they'll say, like, I don't know, it's okay.
I heard Kiddush already. Right. So, but the people that are makbir, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and of course Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, based on before, that they say, no, you should say it before. And I heard here's a shir from Rav Hershel Schechter, the Shiva of YU, and he also said that you should do that based on other reasons, which are complicated, not for now. But there are plenty of people that say that it is a good thing that even though, oh, I heard Kiddush already, and people do it all the time, and they have what to rely on because they did hear Kiddush already, and they had the mezonos over there, which you need to discuss. But there it is a good thing to make Kiddush again before the meal. If you see somebody do it, at least if you see somebody do it, don't think they're crazy. That's where it's coming from, because you're supposed to have wine by the actual meal. So now let's discuss the halachas that you were talking about before. The halacha is, this is halacha Friday night and Shabbos day, that anytime you want to fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush, it has to be by the seuda, by the meal. I mean, you can't just make Kiddush and then walk away. Then you did not fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush. It has to be by a meal. Now, Friday night, that's usually not such a big deal. When we make Kiddush, it's right by the meal. Friday night, everyone comes home from shul, and we make Kiddush Friday night. It's not the end of the world, except they talk about by Simchas Torah, because people are going to be dancing for a couple hours, so they're going to be hungry. They don't want to wait to have their meal till much later, so they start making Kiddush. But besides for that, at night, usually, it's not such a big deal. You have it right before your real meal. But Shabbos morning, a lot of times, we have in shul, or you make a Kiddush, and you're not having your meal. Your meal is going to be later at home or at some point later. So the question is, how am I able to fulfill my mitzvah of Kiddush? What do I need to eat to fulfill my mitzvah of Kiddush? Do I have to have challah? Do I have to have my real meal to fulfill my mitzvah of Kiddush or not? So the Vilna Gaon was known to, he tried to always, whenever he made Kiddush, to make sure he only made Kiddush with challah, with having bread afterwards. He made Kiddush on the wine, and then immediately following that, he made sure to have the challah. You'll notice by some Kiddushes, you'll come, that there's challah rolls there. You ever notice that? That you'll come to a Kiddush, and there's challah rolls there, the caterer makes sure to have challah rolls. Those are people that are makbid, those are for the people that are careful to follow the Vilna Gaon's custom, that you don't just rely on having cookies or cake, you only have with challah. I know my Rosh Hashiva is always makbid about that, and so in Yeshiva Shaar HaTorah, in Queens, whenever there's a Kiddush, there's always has to be challah rolls. Plenty of people don't eat them, but my Rosh Hashiva, whenever, if he wants to take part in the Kiddush, he always washes on the challah rolls after the Kiddush. However, many, many places can say that you don't have to have challah, it's enough to have just mezonos, to have cookies or cake or something like that, that's mezonos. Then after I hear the Kiddush, I say amen to the Kiddush. If I could get a little bit of the drink, great. If not, not. So, but if not, then to fulfill my mitzvah, I could have mezonos. Now, a person needs to be very careful, which touches on what you were asking before. You come to a Kiddush, and there's lots of food. There's cookies, there's cake, there's chalent and kugel, and there's fruit, and there's all different things. But, you know, I'm not going to eat cakes. I'm watching myself. I'm not going to eat the cakes. I'm not going to eat the cookies. I'm not going to eat the chalent. I'm not going to eat the kugel. But there's some very fancy fruit, and there's very nice salads. I have all these fancy salads. So I have a great idea. I'll listen to the person making Kiddush. I'll say amen. I'll fulfill my mitzvah of Kiddush, and then I'll eat just the salads and the fruit. So you did not fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. You could only fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush with either challah or with mezonos. We're going to get to drinking wine and grape juice in a moment, but or at least with mezonos. If you ate just the salads or just fruit, then it's considered as if you ate before Kiddush, because you ate and you did not fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush. So a person needs to be very careful. The men usually don't have this problem because they eat tons of chalent with that barley in it, and they love the cookies and the cakes and all that type of stuff. But a person, you know, the women, they only eat the healthy stuff, or they eat the special salads or things like that. You have to be careful to eat a kezias of cookies. It's not enough to take watch one tiny cracker. You have to eat a kezias, which we discussed how big is a kezias exactly. So we said approximately the amount of 1/4 of the middle slice of a rye bread. It's not so much, but a person should ragalach take some mezonos, and then they could eat the other foods. They don't have to eat. If they want, they won't eat. But if you want to eat because you want to fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to be careful and you need to eat mezonos.
And according to your yeshiva in Queens, then you can really have more than 3 meals on Shabbos.
Well, I guess what would a person would do if they well you and you could end up
for lunch, and
right? So your lunch will be your shalashidus. And you won't have to wash a fourth time.
That's actually a good idea in the winter.
In the winter, right? Yeah, you could do that.
People would have their lunch right there. They wouldn't have to eat.
Oh, so some people use that as your lunch. Meaning, let's say you come into bar mitzvah and the family is there for the kiddush, and all the friends are there for the kiddush, and then everyone's going to go home, but the main family stays for the seuda. So what some people do is, listen, I'm going to wash in a few minutes anyway. Not in a few minutes, whatever. I'll wash in a half hour when all the friends leave. So I'm just going to wash now. In the beginning of the Kiddush, and this will be my one long Shabbos meal.
So
and then they'll have Shalosh Shudas later.
So your yeshiva, the boys, so they would dorm there, that was their Suda?
The boys, no. For the boys, they didn't have the Hamotzi rolls. That was really for
they
the Rosh Hashiva.
No, oh,
the boys really just made mizonos. All the other boys
so
and all the
course,
so the Rosh Hashiva himself, and since that's his hakpada, I mean it's based on the Vilna Gaon.
Right.
But so then you know if he it was always there for him and if
and
anybody
then
else,
Malacca.
I'm sorry.
And then
Malacca. 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 No, for men there's no problem. They could eat it. You know they could go on and on. But no, but there is another halacha that you have to be careful when we get to the halachas of Shalosh Shudas is that. All you have to eat is, we said, the two kezesim of bread, preferably to eat by a meal. It's not like by a Shabbos meal. It's not so much bread that you need to eat. I'm sure my Rashiva, all he did was take one.
You're sitting there anyway. No one's really
sitting. Okay. But Shalosh Shudas preferably should be after Chatzos. So, you know, if a person would have washed by a Kiddush and then they get back home and it's before Chatzos, so that really shouldn't be their Shalosh Shudas. We have to get that when we get to the Lachos of Shalosh Shudas. But that is a something people that are careful. If you see rolls by a Kiddush, you'll know why. You've never seen that? Oh, I've seen it plenty of times. All right, seen plenty of, off to the side. You know that let's say the Baal Simcha will ask the caterer, listen, we have some relatives that are very makbar that they don't eat by a kiddush unless they wash and they want to eat by the kiddush. So do us a favor, have some rolls.
Do you know people coming that have that minhag?
Depends. Could be their, I don't know, could be their caterers that always have it.
3 years. These are important things.
Okay, find out from your relatives. If you know, find out from your relatives.
Maybe from my mom.
Really?
Yeah.
We didn't ask, but
they just put it. Yeah, and they have that.
You're having chalent and everything, so then you assume, well, let's give people the option.
Yeah.
To you, right? Okay.
Yeah,
yeah but
so
that's what.
The wife didn't cook lunch in that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to be careful of, which was one of the questions that you asked before, right? If you could eat other things. So if you eat the mizonos, then. Now, you really, the truth is, according to the letter of the law, you don't have to eat the mizonos first. Meaning, let's say you want to eat. Lots of the salads. So I don't have to eat the mizonos first and then the salads. Really, I could eat the salads first and then have the mizonos.
What about pasta salad? That's mizonos.
So pasta salad is mizonos. Yeah, pasta is one of the chamishas mine dagan. And yeah, if you have a kazayas of the pasta, you can't have the other foods inside of it to equal the kazayas, but you take a regular serving of pasta salad, you'll have a kazayas of those pasta, and yeah, those noodles, the swirls or the elbows, whatever. Yeah, that's definitely good enough. Now it is better to eat the mizonos first because there's other halachos as far as if you have a mizonos and a hadama, it's better to make a mizonos before.
Now what if you just want to drink and you don't want to eat?
Same idea. If you want to drink, so if you want to drink, you have to have a mizonos first.
You have to have a
because if you don't, then it's considered as if you drank before you fulfill your mitzvah of kiddush. Even though I'm gonna have my mitzvah of kiddush when I get home again, but okay. So if you're not gonna fulfill your mitzvah till you get home, because that's where you have your meal, and you're not eating any mizonos over here. So you drank before kiddush.
If you don't want to do anything, like you don't want to eat or drink anything, do you have to take a sip of the kiddush?
No, this is not my kiddush. I mean, you could say amen to the bracha. It's definitely nice to say amen to the bracha. It's a mitzvah to say amen to the bracha. If you hear it, you should say amen. But if I'm not eating anything, so this is not going to be my kiddush.
Okay.
It's not going to be my kiddush when I get home.
Can you drink just water?
No, you're not allowed. Once you have the obligation of kiddush, you're not allowed to drink even water. There's halachas that. And again, before davening, you're allowed to drink water. You're allowed to drink coffee and tea because those are basically water. But once the obligation of kiddush kicks in, meaning let's say you davened already, or like we said before, that you know you're not going to daven today. So now your obligation of kiddush kicks in, then we paskin, you're not allowed to drink even water before. Now for Shabbos morning, there are those that say, there are some Rishonim, there's the Ravid and Ram Chalava, there's other Rishonim that say that you are allowed to eat before kiddush. But straight, flat out, we don't paskin like that. Like that, we paskin that you're not supposed to eat before Kiddush Shabbos day, and therefore you shouldn't drink even water. If you're very, very thirsty, or you know your favorite soda is there at the Kiddush, so and you want to drink, so you should have a kazayas of mizonos, and then you could drink as much as you want. And like we said before, then when you get back home, technically you fulfilled your mitzvah of Kiddush already, but it is a good thing to have Kiddush again by your real meal. But technically you did finish, you know, your mitzvah of Kiddush. If there is no mizonos, Let's say you don't want to have mazonos, or you don't want to, and you don't want to have challah. So another way out is that you could drink a revius of wine or grape juice. Okay? So, and this is very nogea on Pesach. Pesach's not far away. It's 2 months away. So, let's say you don't bruch. Let's say you don't eat kebruchs on Pesach. So there's no mazonos around. So if I want to have, let's say, my meal's not going to start for another couple hours, so I davened already, so I want to just eat something. So let me, I'll just have, I don't know, some gefilte fish or some shahako cookies or something that I want to eat. I'm sorry?
Everyone has that problem.
Everyone has the problem, yeah. Shabbos, what should we eat? Right, so potatoes, there's really not much to eat on Pesach. So let's say, Yontif morning, you want to eat something. So you have to make Kiddush. Okay, fine. So I don't want to wash a matzah. I mean, I've had enough matzah already. I don't want to have to wash a matzah. But there's no mazonos because let's say I don't eat kebrachs on Pesach. So what do? How do I make kiddush? I'd rather not have to wash. So all my years, what I used to do is I used to wash. But another way out is that you could drink a revius of wine or grape juice. And with that, you fulfill your mitzvah of kiddush. How big is a revius? So I think we discussed it at one point. There's different opinions how big it is, ranging from 3.3 ounces up until somewhere like 5.3, I think. But that is another way out, that you could drink a revius of wine or grape juice, and that'll be enough. The one who makes the kiddush, there's other halachos how much he has to drink, but at least for the women, for the people not making the actual kiddush, they could drink that amount of grape juice or wine, and then they could have any shahako cookies or anything like that because they fulfilled their mitzvah with that. So basically there's three ways to fulfill your mitzvah of kiddush, either with challah or mazonos or with a certain amount of wine or grape juice.
So if you just have a sip of, if people give you like a little bit sip of grape juice,
right?
You still have to have a
you still have to have mazonos, exactly. Meaning that's enough to drink as far as now I fulfill the mitzvah of drinking from the wine, the little extra, that extra added plus of drinking from the wine, but you do not fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush yet.
Right, so you don't have to say alagefen, you just have to say alagefen.
Right, there's no alagefen because you just add a teeny bit.
Right.
Now, what you said is very good, but because that's the way we paskin, meaning if you have a kezayis of mazonos, you make an alamecha,
right.
But if I have just a tiny bit of grape juice, I don't make an ala gefen. But
right.
Once I'm already making an ala michya,
so
do I stick in ala gefen? Yeah. That's a big discussion. It's maybe if we ever learn Hilchos Brachos, we'll discuss that. Once we're under the discussion of just mezonos foods, when you make an ala michya, there's many halachos to ala michya. When you make the after bracha, after mezonos is called ala michya. So just to say just a couple things as far as ala michya. The halachos by benching, by the full benching, birchas hamazon, after somebody washes and they eat a kezayis of bread, so the halacha is that you need to bench, the full benching. So the poskim tell us that you're supposed to bench inside a sitter, inside a bencher. Even if you think you know it by heart, first of all, a lot of people think they know it by heart and they really do not know it by heart. They're busy and they miss words. So definitely it's better to bench inside a sitter, the full benching, and it's brought that you're supposed to be benching sitting down. Okay, we should be benching sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by alamichya, what about alamichya? I have mazonos, I have a few cookies, I have some cake. Do I need to sit down when I bench, when I say the bracha of alamichya or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you really should be saying alamichya sitting down. And you'll find a lot of people are very careful about that. They go to Kiddush, and let's say they only had mazonos by the Kiddush, because that's how a lot of people rely on, that we just have mazonos by Kiddush. So, okay, the wife says, okay, it's time to go. So they'll just find a chair, and they'll sit down and say alamichya. So first of all, it helps to remember to bench. A lot of times, you know, people forget to make a bracha achrona, to make the after bracha. It helps to remember to say the bracha achrona. But besides that, the reason why it's better to sit when you say alamichya is because it helps for concentration. Helps with concentration. This way you sit and you're more b'yishuv hadas, you're more settled, and this way you say the bracha sitting down. It's not as much of an obligation as the full birchas hamazon, but what comes out from the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah that it really should be said alamichya sitting down. And it happens in your kitchen all the time. You're about to run out of the house, you grab a bite and you're just eating a few cookies before you leave and you're rushing, you're putting on your coat, you stop and you sit down to say alamichya. For Bar Nefashos, that is even less strict, and according to the letter of the law, for sure, you're allowed to say Bar Nefashos standing up, meaning if you had something that was ha'et, or hadama, or shahakal, a drink, or a candy, or something, and you had a kezayis, so you say Bar Nefashos. The Ar Paiskim, the Ar Svarim, like the Kaf HaChaim, the Ben Ish Chai, that they say that it is good to sit down for Bar Nefashos as well, But I think the minig, the custom of the world is for bar nefashos to be not as careful about it. It is a good thing, but to bar nefashos is not as strict as alamichya, and for sure not as strict as birchas hamazon to, you know, to be sitting down for bar nefashos. So there's just some other halachos. Okay, so let's just finish up as far as the day meal, and then Bez Hashem next week, we'll say something about Tu B'Shvat, and then next week we'll discuss the halachos of Shalosh Shudis, which may be in for some surprises. Now, just for the day meal is basically identical to the Friday night meal as far as the Seuda itself. We discussed how much challah, how much bread or matzah a person needs to eat, preferably during, to be yotzei, to fulfill their mitzvah of the meal. We said preferably they should be eating the size of two kizesim, which is not so much challah. Especially should be the size of two kizesim. B'di'eved, meaning worst comes to worst, it's enough to eat just the size of one kizayis of challah. And I'm talking about the challah itself. It doesn't, you can't include the gefilte fish or the chicken soup or the chont or the kugel or anything like that. It's the challah itself. You should preferably eat the size of two kizesim, which is not a lot. You take the middle slice of a rye bread, the regular 2-pound loaf of rye bread, so the amount of half of such a slice, according to Rabbi Banner, is two kizesim.
Oh, that's
a quarter of a slice is one kizayis.
Oh, wow.
Of the 2-pound, meaning of the,
see that.
Right, of the 2-pound. Of the 2-pound loaves, which is what the standard in America, they sell the 2-pound loaves, so a quarter of such a slice is a kizayis. So for the Shabbos Sudi, you should eat the amount of a half a slice of rye bread, corresponding to the amount of challah for that. A halacha that's important to know as far as Shabbos day, that and you're not allowed to fast past chatzos. You're not allowed to fast past midday. Now again, midday doesn't mean 12 o'clock. Sometimes in the summer, chatzos could be 1 o'clock. Now, you're not allowed to fast. Who's fasting on Shabbos? Anyone fasts on Shabbos? But this is true even if you don't do it for the purpose of fasting. Meaning, so let's say you wake up very late, right? Say a person doesn't have any children, they're a young married couple, and the husband's not going to come home from shul till who knows, because he davens at a 9:30 minyan, and he's for sure going to have kiddush and shul. By the time he comes home, his wife goes to sleep, wakes up at like 12:30. So chatzos, nowadays, in the winter, is 10 after 12. So quite possibly, you could have somebody who wakes up Shabbos morning very late, or even if they don't wake up very late, let's say they wake up very early, and they're just not hungry. So I'm not going to make kiddush, I'll wait till my husband comes home. And they don't end up starting the meal till after chatzos. That's not allowed, because a person is supposed to have pleasure on Shabbos, oneg Shabbos, and they're holding back pleasure from themselves. And even again, even if it's not for the purpose of fasting on purpose, but still a person has to be careful to have something before the time of chatzos. And even if you did break your fast already, it is a good to start the meal before chatzos. Your first Shabbos day meal should preferably be done before chatzos. Now it's 10 after 12. Got to be careful. By the time the men come home from shul, depends where they daven, they come home, they're waiting for the guests, they're schmoozing, they're not so hungry. They had kiddush in shul anyway, so they're not in a rush. So a person should be careful, preferably to start before chatzos. So Rosh Hashanah is a big problem. Rosh Hashanah is a big problem.
They always have kiddush in shul.
Well, okay, so many people do not eat before shofars, before tkiyas, which this same Rosh Hashiva, although he has challah on Shabbos, but he doesn't eat before shofars. It's based on a psak from Rav Henkin, and there's many places that say you should not eat before shofars. There are many that say you are allowed to eat shofars. For sure, for women, you're allowed to eat before you hear the shofar blown. But it could run into a problem in Rosh Hashanah that someone who's careful not to eat before they hear the shofar blown, so what about fasting? You're fasting past chatzos. So one way out is, which is what I try to do, is that before shacharis, I take a drink of water. Because we said, before shacharis, before you daven, you're allowed to have water, and the obligation of kiddush did not kick in yet because I didn't daven yet, so I'm allowed to have water. There are those that say that water doesn't help for breaking your fast as far as this is concerned. Another way out is that there are those that say that you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos and you're not allowed to fast on Yontif, but Rosh Hashanah you're allowed to fast. Yom Kippur, of course, we're supposed to fast, but Rosh Hashanah, there are those that say you are allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah if you'd like, because after all, it is a yom of it's a day of judgment. So there are those that say on Rosh Hashanah it is permitted to fast. So we have some things to rely on that, you know, worst comes to worst, you know, I'm not doing it for the purpose of fasting, I'm not eating, okay, but anyway, there are those opinions that say you're allowed to fast. So so that on Rosh Hashanah is something that people rely on. But again, like you said, if you're going to have kiddush and shul before you hear the shofar, and if that is done before midday, so then anyways, you know, then that's not a problem. Okay, just to say, and just something short about Tu B'Shvat. Tonight is Tu B'Shvat, as we can see the beautiful setup over here. Tu B'Shvat, as I'm sure some of you know, is what we call, it's the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. It's the new year for the trees. It's the first Mishnah in the Masechta called Rosh Hashanah, and it's the new time for the trees. Now, if you look outside, the trees don't have any leaves on the trees, and there's no fruit on the trees, but it's known, and the Gemara tells us that the sap and a little bit of the moistness is already seeping into the trees. Now is when it first starts at this point, and it's a new start for the trees, and it makes a difference in halacha based on truma and meiser and arla and things like that. That, you know, for the trees, it's a new beginning, a new Rosh Hashanah for the trees. So what can people learn from that? So the Sfarim tell us that it's based on psukim in the Torah, psukim in Tehillim, that a person, a yid, is compared to a tree. Right? The pasuk in Parsha Shoftim says, "Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sada," that a person in some way is compared to a tree. The Gemara and many Sfarim say that when a person does mitzvos, we call that his peiros, his fruit. When a person does mitzvos, those are his fruit, and his averos are like the leaves, because that doesn't give off any nourishment. So that's like the leaves. Someone who is an Am Ha'aretz, someone who doesn't learn any Torah, and someone who doesn't do any mitzvos whatsoever, is called an Ilan Srak, which means a tree that doesn't give off any fruits, types of trees that don't bear any fruits. So we see many comparisons between people and a tree. And I once heard a very nice concept. What's the connection between trees and people? That if you take a tree or a plant or a flower, and you want it to die, you want it to not flourish, you want it to wither away, you don't want it to grow, you don't have to do anything negative to the tree. All you have to do is just not give it any positive. As long as you don't give it sunlight and you don't give it water, eventually the tree and the plant or the flower will wither away. It won't be able to strive, it won't be able to grow. Even if you don't have any bad intentions, you don't specifically go ahead and try and chop it down, all you have to do is just not give it any positive, and eventually it will wither away. And that's the same idea by people. When we try to grow in our avodas Hashem, in serving Hashem, we don't have to necessarily want to do averos, to do bad deeds. As long as we are not working on ourselves, then a person's avodas Hashem, a person's service of Hashem, will eventually wither away. My Rosh Hashiva, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, which I think we mentioned him once or twice, he used to always say that a person is always going up, 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 or down, down, down. He always used to say three times, up, 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 or down, down, down. He said a person is never status quo. A person who is just coasting, he's just, you know, he's going through, he follows as many mitzvot as he can, and he's going along with the rest of the world, whether it's a man or a lady, they cannot strive, they cannot grow in their service of Hashem, in their avodas Hashem, because they're just coasting. If a person is not working on himself to go greater and higher, then he's not going to be able to strive. And it's something that, you know, I feel very strongly about, that a person needs to be working on themselves. And that's why it's so special that people come out for a shir, whether it's Tuesday nights or Tuesday mornings or whatever it is, because the Chafetz Chaim who wrote the Mishnah Berurah, he writes in his introduction to the halachos of Shabbos, he says, if you want to be mechal Shabbos, you don't have to have any bad intentions of trying to be mechal Shabbos. All you have to do is just not learn the laws of Shabbos, and you're going to end up desecrating the Shabbos. You're going to end up being mechal Shabbos. There are so many halachos to Shabbos, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about if you don't know all the halachos of Shabbos, whether it's the positive commandments of Shabbos or the negative commandments of Shabbos. There's just so much out there, and if a person is not working on it to learn the halachos of Kiddush or Lecha Mishnah or however, or any of the negative commandments, then it's just going to happen automatically, that a person is eventually going to be Mechal Shabbos. And that's why it's so important to strive and to work, for a person to work on themselves to go higher and higher. And it's actually in this week's parasha.